What a beautiful society Prabhupada has created. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness has brought us all together. We otherwise we didn't actually have any possibility of meeting each other, coming close to each other, even getting to know each other. But just because Prabhupada met this society, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and he attracted us towards his lotus feet, that we all have become connected to each other, related to each other. And I very strongly feel that this relationship is eternal, provided we do not deviate from Krishna consciousness. If we remain fixed up at Krishna's lotus feet, then we'll always be together. Physically we may not be, but in spirit we'll always be together. And that's why this Krishna consciousness is wonderful. Like any other relationship is temporary, because they are based on this gross material body. But our relationship, because it is based on Krishna, the source of all spirits, since this relationship is based on spirits, that's why it is eternal. And physically it does not really matter whether we remain together or not, but spiritually we'll always remain together. And that's where lies the fulfillment of our existence. Actually, even if the relationship was spiritual, but that wouldn't have been everything, or that wouldn't have been the perfection of it, but because it is based on Krishna and our desire to please Krishna, our service to Krishna, since everything is centered around Krishna, that's why everything is so wonderful. And as a matter of fact, the relationship does not really matter at all. What actually matters is our attachment to Krishna. That's what we have to understand. We all are here because we all are attracted to Krishna, and we all want to be related to Krishna eternally. And often I feel that I'm very, very fortunate that I got to know you all, and I got a chance to come close to you by Prabhupada's mercy. I have got a chance to render some service to you. And in plain simple word I can say, it is wonderful. Now please remain fixed up at Prabhupada's lotus feet. Now that you all have come to Krishna consciousness, do not deviate. This one life, actually, how much does it mean? just a few more years, few more rotations of the Earth planet around the Sun. That's what it actually means. So insignificant each life actually is. But if this life we can offer to Krishna and dedicate ourselves completely in rendering service to Krishna, then we'll go back to Godhead. Our life's mission will be accomplished. So that's why now that we have come here, now that we have come to Krishna consciousness, let us not deviate anymore. Life after life in the past, we have been traveling in this universe in different bodies, serving Maya, being kicked around by Maya. But this life, in this life that we got Krishna consciousness by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, let us take full advantage of it and go back to Godhead. In the course of our progress, there may be a lot of difficulties, there may be a lot of obstacles, but if we remain together, then we'll be very easily be able to overcome those hurdles or obstacles. Because it is difficult to travel alone, especially for such a long and difficult journey back to Godhead. But if we travel together, then it becomes easy. That's why Mahaprabhu gave this Sankirtan movement. Mahaprabhu could see that people in this age of Kali will be very, very weak. They won't be able to pursue spiritual life alone. So that's why Mahaprabhu gave this congregational endeavor for spiritual advancement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Sankirtan movement where collectively we travel towards Krishna Loka. Sometimes when somebody has difficulties, then others will come forward to help him. And this is how very safely we'll be able to progress towards the spiritual sky. Prabhupada often used to say, chant and be happy. Often I used to wonder what it actually means. And honestly speaking, I couldn't really understand. But now, gradually, I'm getting a slight understanding of what Prabhupada actually meant. And as we develop our taste for the holy name, we begin to realize that everything is there actually in the holy name. Our happiness does not depend on anything else. Our happiness should not depend on our material accomplishments or positions or our environment, our circumstances. Nothing outside. Our happiness simply depends on our Krishna consciousness. And that can be very easily derived from chanting the holy names. Often when I become depressed, I remember this instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Chant and be happy. And I immediately realized that there is nothing to feel depressed about actually. No one can stop me from chanting. And all my happiness actually lies in my chanting the holy name, because this holy name is not different from Krishna And when I chant the holy name, I'm getting association of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why should I worry about anything? Such a simple formula Prabhupada gave, such a simple process Prabhupada gave. And now we simply have to practice it. And if we do, then our life's mission will be accomplished. There's no doubt about that. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question or any comment?
I said that in Kali Yuga, four things prohibited, and one of those four things is also that he takes sannyas. It's also prohibited. Has it also something to do with, like you said, that to travel alone is difficult, therefore he is better to...
The kind of sannyas is the Prabhupada explained that Ekadanda sannyas has been forbidden. And the
Mayavadi.
Not exactly Mayavadi, I mean, the sannyas that actually aspires for Brahma Sajujya, and that sannyas has been to merge in the Brahma. That sannyas has been forbidden. But Sridhanda sannyas is all right. That is, accepting sannyas to serve Krishna, accepting sannyas to offer yourself to Krishna, that hasn't been forbidden. So our sannyas is bona fide, right? And actually, in a way, you're correct, because that kind of sannyas is not possible. Like a man going alone, you know, to attain perfection is not possible for the living entities in this age. But Sridhanda sannyas does not really require to be alone. In Sridhanda sannyas, you can actually be in the association of devotees, and so that's all right. So Vaishnava sannyas is all right.
He took
Ekadanda sannyas, but Mahaprabhu sannyas was not quite Ekadanda sannyas, because before taking sannyas, Mahaprabhu gave the mantra to Kesha Bharati, and then Kesha Bharati repeated that mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then that's one thing. Another thing is, when Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, when he was going to Jagannath Puri, Nityananda Prabhu broke his danda, right? And he broke the significance, one of the significances of breaking the danda is that he broke the danda in three pieces and signified that he is actually a Tridandi sannyasi, not an Ekadandi sannyasi. That is the Ekadanda sannyas, actually. Shiva of the Sika. He didn't have Sika. And also, when one takes sannyas, according to that order, one takes off his Brahmin thread. Because that sannyas is beyond Varnashram. So, the Brahmin thread and Sika both are. Shikha, it's called Shikha Sutra tag. Sikha and Sutra is a Brahmin thread. Tag rejected.
Was it not confusing for his disciples?
Well, you see, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one of the opulences of the Lord is renunciation. So Mahaprabhu can display renunciation like that, but living entities of the age of Kali cannot. How many people, and who can follow the sannyas order like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? No. Especially in this age. So Prabhupada pointed out that our sannyas is Tridanda sannyas, and that is the sannyas of surrendering to Krishna, not rejection, but acceptance, rejecting Maya or rejecting material attachments to become attached to Krishna. That is our sannyas. When the Lord's mercy comes down, when it comes down, then it does not really consider, you know, one's reactions or what one's previous, you know, activities. He just gives it, irrespective of any other consideration. And whenever one takes it, he can benefit out of it. Like, for instance, simply, I can give an example. We all are the living entities of the age of Kali. Right? The living entities in the age of Kali all are very, very fallen. Only the fallen people come in this age of Kali. Right? So we all are very fallen, very degraded, very unfortunate. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy has come down. And because of His mercy, today we could become devotees. So, that is causeless. Like, although we are very sinful, although we are very degraded, but we have been able to receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Can you think of any cause behind it? Why are you a devotee today? Can you think of any cause? We cannot figure out how we became a devotee. We became a devotee because of Prabhupada's causeless mercy. Is it clear?
He does not feel extra pleasure when offered nice prayers by the devotee, although the devotee benefits by offering such prayers.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, as if Krishna is not.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's probably pointing out that don't think that you are doing a great favor to Krishna by glorifying Him. He doesn't care about your glorification, but by glorifying Him, you benefit. Right? You know, Krishna doesn't really need anything from us. Krishna, if we don't offer food to Krishna, Krishna won't starve. Right? But still, by offering food to Krishna, we benefit. Now, there is a group of people who would think that, well, Krishna doesn't eat, so why offer food to Krishna? Right? Some people may think like that, and do think like that. Like Prabhupada once pointed out, the Birla temple, they have built huge temple for Lakshmi Narayan. And they offered just some sugar candies to Krishna. They say, well, Krishna, he doesn't eat, so why waste money in giving, in offering nice prasad. But little do they understand that Krishna, although Krishna doesn't really need those nice prasad, but by offering those nice prasads to Krishna, you benefit, or we benefit. Any, is it clear? Or still there's a but?
The experiences are always reactions of the modes, not of the Supreme Lord's partiality.
What experience is the mode?
The experiences are always reactions of the modes,
yeah.
Not of the Supreme Lord's partiality.
Right, because sometimes people say, well, what did I do, you know, that something like this happened to me? Often people say, right, I became a devotee, but why did it happen to me? But the understanding is that nothing really, actually, whatever is happening to us that affects us is due to the modes of material nature. Krishna has nothing to do with that. Right? But when we become fully surrendered to Krishna, then even though things may happen to us, we will not be affected by that. For instance, giving an example, a man, say, was going from one place to another, and he was carrying, say, 100,000 francs, and the money got lost, right? Or stolen. So, if the person is in the mode of ignorance, then what he'll do? He'll begin to cry and lament, right? If he's in the mode of passion, he will try to find the man and beat him up. And if he is in the mode of goodness, then he will think, well, the money was actually, it was my destiny to lose the money, so I lost it. So actually this is how we act according to the modes, right? Like one thing, right, reflects in different modes in different ways, or due to the influence of different modes, people react differently. Now a person who is totally surrendered to Krishna, what he will think? He will think that it was Krishna's money and I lost it. So he will become very upset actually. In a mode of goodness, he will not be affected. But in a mode of pure goodness, he'll get into anxiety. He'll think that, oh, how unfortunate, this money was actually meant for Krishna's service and I lost it. So a devotee of Krishna will always think that he is just a servant of the Lord. And whatever happens to him, he will think in terms of Krishna consciousness. Like a person, say for instance, a man gets fever, right? In a mode of goodness, he will think, oh, I got fever, so what to do, let me lie down, right? But a person in Krishna consciousness, he will think, oh, how unfortunate it is. My time is wasted because I cannot render service to Krishna. So to be Krishna conscious means always being concerned about service to Krishna. And if there is an impediment, the person gets very upset. And if there is some impetus, then he feels excited or joyful. Any other question? Yes.
Well, you explained the meaning of the verse in Chilling every morning. Each shloka has a joy, and it's Krishna Master. His name is Krishna Master. Master's radio that is very certain, assisting the gopis, things in different time or different place or mentions. How do you understand this thing and perfectly express the whole channel in the morning? I don't understand that.
We have to, first thing we have to understand that this eight shlokas were composed by Srinivas Acharya, right? And he actually is glorifying his guru. And when we sing this mantra to, we actually, at least I sing it for Prabhupada, and it applies to Prabhupada perfectly. And that way, we are very fortunate actually to have a spiritual master like Prabhupada. But there will be devotees who won't have such elevated spiritual masters as Srila Prabhupada. But still then, they should think that their spiritual master is of that caliber or of that elevation. After all, by worshipping the spiritual master, one is actually expressing his faith in Krishna. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. And as we act towards the spiritual master, accordingly Krishna receives our offerings, or accordingly Krishna reciprocates, we can say. It's like the spiritual master is representative of Krishna. The qualification of a spiritual master is Krishna Tattva Vetta. He must know Krishna and he must represent Krishna. And the disciple's business is to accept the spiritual master as a representative of Krishna. Not just the personality, not just the charisma of the person, or not just his looks or so and so forth. His only qualification is that he is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Now, there may be some cases when some spiritual master will fail to represent Krishna fully. Now, in those cases, we have to understand that there is no loss, because one has done it to Krishna. One recognized the spiritual master because he was representing Krishna. So, there is no loss. Because if a tax collector comes on behalf of the king, right? The tax collector comes and one pays the tax to the tax collector, not to give the money to him, but to give the money to the king. Now, if the tax collector squanders the money, and the king gets to know about it, then the king duly takes care of the tax collector who squandered the money. But the person who paid the money, and the king recognizes that he already paid the tax, so king doesn't charge him the tax again. It is recognized that he paid the tax, so his whatever he paid has been recognized by the king. So the same way, whatever the disciple offers to the guru, Krishna receives it. Even though the guru may fail in some cases. So, it is always better to trust the Guru. Because he is representing Krishna. So any other question or comments?
I don't know if this is correct, but I heard also on that question, I heard also one person made a statement, maybe you can also say that it's correct, that he said it's because the Supreme Master actually is also the servant of the Goswamis, who are incarnations of gopis. Therefore, actually, the Supreme Master actually is expert in assisting the Goswamis in distributing their knowledge.
Well, the disciples can have their understanding. But I think the spiritual master himself should not elaborate on that. Because a devotee never really tries to establish his position. Devotee always takes a humble position. A Vaishnava never feels that he is qualified. A Vaishnava always feels that he is unqualified. And the shloka is very clear, Nikunja Juna Roti Keli Shiddhai Jajali Bhiri Jukti Rapikshan. It's actually a very, very elevated position. Rendering service to Krishna in their very intimate pastimes, Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes, who can enter there? As I was explaining this morning, even Lord Shiva cannot enter. Now, there will be many devotees who will play the role of a guru. And they may not, in many cases, they will not be of that caliber. But still, the disciple should feel that my guru is like that. Although guru should never say that, I am this. Right? But by thinking that the guru is qualified, or the guru is a pure devotee, the disciple makes advancement. And guru's business is to take the humble position all the time. Like that has been explained in the next verse. Shakshad haritena samasta shastrai ruktas tatha bhavata eva sadhi kintu prabhur ja priya eva tasya vandri guru shri charana. According to the disciple, or according to the scriptures, the guru is Shakshad Hari. But guru, kintu prabhurja priyayavatasya, but guru himself feels that he is just a humble servant of Krishna. The guru never thinks that I have become Hari. Right? If he feels, then he is finished. He ends up becoming a Mayavadi. It's a two-way, traffic. Right? The guru thinks, and the disciple has his approach, and the guru has his approach. And that's what maintains the balance. Do you have any comments, Srila Prabhu?
No, I don't. So should every disciple, when they sing these prayers, think of their own spiritual master?
Well, yeah. Who else should he think? When one is singing that, he should think about his spiritual master. But of course, at the same time, since in our society, Prabhupada is the central figure, right? The founder Acharya. We can, at least, there's no harm in projecting that concept to Prabhupada. And those who depend on me, I actually direct them to do that. Think of Prabhupada as the perfect guru.
Do you know if the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati sang this prayer?
Buddhists, because like until some prophets come, but they said they do not sing this Purvastic and Pramodavastic.
Well, it depends when they have the Mangalarthik. It has been instructed that everyone should sing this prayer in the Brahma Muhurta. Gur Vashtaka Medaduchai Brahme Muhurte Patasapajat. That's the ninth verse which you do not sing. Jastena Vrindavananatha Shakshan. So, it has been advised that one must sing this prayer in the Brahma Muhurta. So, we have our Mangalarti during the Brahma Muhurta, so we sing it during the Mangalarti. And it is so nice actually to begin the day by glorifying Krishna. And Krishna becomes pleased when he hears that his devotees are being glorified. That's what I was saying, like we are actually very fortunate that we have a spiritual master like Prabhupada. I mean all the glorifications can be offered to Prabhupada and still it won't be enough. But there'll be other devotees, those who won't get a spiritual master like Prabhupada. So that's why I personally feel that it'll be nice if we can train, if we can direct everyone to Prabhupada. After all, everyone is so eager to have a relationship with Prabhupada. And I know devotees feel like, oh, had I have come 5 years earlier, I could have been Prabhupada's devotee disciple. If I joined 6 years earlier, I could have been Prabhupada's disciple. And people will still think the same way. Had I have joined 50 years earlier, I could have been his disciple. Right? And people will always feel like that because everybody wants to have a relationship with a very, very elevated devotee. So why shouldn't we help them to develop a relationship? Isn't it?
Well, I was also thinking one time there was a chanting at Kukuja Jai Guru Day. And I thought it's, you know, who's the Guru Day?
Yeah. That's why this year
they have to think of someone. Is it a personal?
It's
the spiritual master may not be
No, I think the spiritual masters should be very honest. And even if he is in that platform, he will not claim that he is. What do you think if we ask Prabhupada whether Prabhupada was in that platform? What Prabhupada would have said? Prabhupada, who was so humble, who would always glorify his guru and would not demand anything for himself. Prabhupada also.
But at the same time, Krishna unveiled Prabhupada's super.
Right. So that's the thing, like, a devotee never wants to disclose. Not only that, he doesn't want to disclose his identity. Devotee always feels unqualified himself. But Krishna reveals his qualification. And that's the wonderful position of a Vaishnava devotee. That's the wonderful position of a Vaishnava. I go to think of it, Madhavendra Puri such a humble person, he wouldn't even, you know, ask for food from anybody. If the food came on its own, he would accept it. And a person like that, he just felt, if I could get the taste of the kheer in Ramuna, Gopinath temple, he thought that if I could get the taste, then I could make this Omrita Keli, this kheer, for my Gopal. And but then immediately after that he felt, oh, I'm becoming greedy. I'm lusting for Krishna's prasad. So he just left. But Krishna sent prasad, not only sent, he stole the kheer for him. So that is the wonderful exchange between Krishna and his devotees. Devotees never feel that he's qualified. Madhavendra could have felt that, well, I mean, I never want anything otherwise. But this is I wanted because I wanted to have the taste so that I can offer it to my deity. But he, instead of that, he also felt very unqualified. But compared to that, let us consider our position. I mean, we so often we claim that we have the right to have the Mahaprasad. And if we don't get it, we get upset. Right? Actually, the world, the Vaishnava world is very, very sweet world. I mean, if you take a humble position, you can't hurt anyone. Everyone will feel very much at home with you. But if you become demanding, then only it causes difficulties and discord. And that's why the Vaishnava Association is so beautiful, because they don't demand. They want to simply offer. And who wouldn't like to have the association of a person who simply wants to give and doesn't want to take anything? So in order to be a Vaishnava, we have to just give without taking. Or at least as much as we can, we must try.
You were saying that the mercy of a pure devotee has no cause. And I was reading that impersonalist and people are sense gratified, they can only be delivered if they meet a pure devotee. And, but then it seems that there is like a selection to the people, because like when we distribute the mercy of Srila Prabhupada on the streets, we cannot meet everyone. So I was wondering if there is no cause, why there's only some people who get it and some other people. So
it's like this. You see, the rain is falling, raindrops are falling.